Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
If and when we vote on this deal, for every member of this body, with my former colleague, former Senator Joe Lieberman, who said this may well be the most important vote any senator casts in his or her career, I implore every Democrat who has come out in support of this deal, search your conscience. You can make a choice other than standing with your own party. You can stand up to your own party. Trust me, I've done it myself. It is not the end of the world.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that came in a little sooner than we had anticipated, so I will say again, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap territory, and we are delighted to have you with us today, and along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and of course, what you heard there was Senator Ted Cruz. Ted was speaking before the United States Senate in Washington, D.C. I think that was earlier this morning. And as a result of him speaking, he spoke 20 minutes, and he is trying to encourage the Democrats who are in the Senate not to vote for this Iranian deal because of the way that it's going to be really detrimental to the Jewish nation. And so we wanted to play that. And since there was a bit of an interruption there at the very beginning, Russ, can you play that again? I want our people to hear the entire statement that was made by Ted Cruz. Can you play that again, please?
If and when we vote on this deal, for every member of this body, I agree with my former colleague, former Senator Joe Lieberman, who said this may well be the most important vote any senator casts in his or her career. I implore every Democrat who has come out in support of this deal, search your conscience. You can make a choice other than standing with your own party. You can stand up to your own party. Trust me, I've done it myself. It is not the end of the world.
Well, Sam, that's a pretty strong statement for a politician to make.
Gary, I can guarantee you that Ted Cruz has earned the right to make the statement that he made. He has stood up against Mitch McConnell. Many times politicians will stand up on the floor and say, make statements like that to the uninformed sound good, but they mean nothing to your colleagues. He made that statement, and he's calling them to, for once, consider the importance of their vote. He's calling them to hearken to their integrity, if they have any, call them to their oath, to call them to their duty as a sitting senator rather than blind allegiance to leadership that they bow to and are forced or try to bow to afford to all the time. And he's calling to them. That was a tremendous statement. He did. That was yesterday, by the way. So it was set up in order to help, I believe, go towards what may be a vote in the Senate. But he earned the right to say that, and I believe he's earned the respect of his colleagues to be able to urge them to do that very thing. Go home and pray about it. Great statement.
It was a very, very good statement. I have not been able to hear just exactly how others responded to that. But this deal is becoming quite serious. I heard on the news earlier this morning, Dave, that there are many people in both, well, particularly in the House of Representatives, but in both the House and the Senate, primarily in the House of Representatives, however, who are Republican, who are saying that this is a done deal, and so they're not going to try to stand against it anymore. I don't know that I want that kind of man representing me in the United States House of Representatives who would take that position.
Well, Gary, I would not want them representing me either. What's interesting about what Ted Cruz did yesterday, he was speaking, of course, because these things are covered by the TV cameras. He was speaking to the American people primarily. Of course, he was speaking to those colleagues of his in the United States Senate, but he was also speaking to those in the United States House of Representatives. And as a result of what Ted did yesterday, as well as growing pressure, mounting pressure that is coming from the discovery of more of what is actually in this Iranian deal, and sometimes becomes what is not in it. It looks as if what's going to happen today, Gary, is there's going to be three votes in the House of Representatives, possibly one vote in the Senate, but certainly three votes at this point in the House of Representatives. There will be three measures that will be voted on. The first one is this, that the Obama administration has not submitted all the aspects of this deal to Congress. Our listeners will remember there were some side deals that were worked that Congress has not yet seen. And so there are those in the House that are saying, look, the 60-day time clock has not even started ticking because we haven't seen all the side deals. And so until we get those, the 60-day review period hasn't even started. So they're going to vote on that first. Secondly, they're going to vote on a vote to disapprove the deal entirely. That vote will occur. Some are saying that will not pass. It may not. It might. We'll wait and see. The third thing is they're going to vote to force Obama to not lift the congressionally imposed sanctions, no matter what happens with this deal. So Gary, these three components are vitally, vitally critical. And really, Ted Cruz is showing phenomenal leadership in bucking the leadership of his party to do what he's doing. It's courageous.
I would encourage each and every one of you, if you can, to listen to that entire statement that Ted gave. It's about 20 minutes in length. And Sam, maybe you can give the link there, because I think it would be very advantageous for everyone across America to hear what Ted Cruz had to say. It was done in a very presidential statesmanship type of an approach. And as you said, Dave, it at least in my opinion, and I know in yours as well, it presented there the signs of great leadership on behalf of Ted Cruz. Sam, do you have that link that you can give our listeners here this afternoon that they can take a listen to that if they would like to?
Well, Gary, it's a little bit too long, but I will say go to this. Go to c-span.org and look in the video section, and then I would at that point go to www.c-span.org, c-span.org/video, and then put in there, and I would search for Ted Cruz speech on Senate floor, and I think would come up, but there's too much other language to give at this moment on there.
And you need, ladies and gentlemen, to listen to that entire speech, because it's very credible, it's very accurate, it's very challenging. And whether or not you would be one who today would vote for Ted Cruz or not, you know, that's a different story. You just need to hear what he has to say. And, you know, talking about the presidential race right now, a new poll that came out, it was a CNN ORC poll, has Donald Trump up to 32%, Carson 19%, Bush 9%, Cruz 7%, Huckabee and Walker are tied for 5%, and Dave, the rest of them are lower than that. Quite an interesting poll.
Well, Gary, again, it underscores the fact that the outsiders are the ones that the American people are, at least at this point in these polls, casting their vote in favor of because they're sick. I mean, they are literally sick and tired of politics as usual, both on the Democrat side and the Republican side. And so they're looking to the likes of a Donald Trump. And of course, we have talked probably incessantly on this program, not supporting Donald, but just stating the reason why we believe he is in the lead. And it has to do with the fact that he is just speaking as a leader would speak. He's speaking aggressively. He's speaking forthrightly. People appreciate that.
Well, he is. It's interesting to hear what Ben Carson had to say about Donald Trump and his faith. We won't get into that right now, but we might be able to talk about that a little bit later on. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have David New with us. He is our Washington beat attorney. Every other Thursday, he's with us, and he always has insights that we'll gain from no other place besides right here. So stay tuned. Be back with more right after this. Don't you dare go away.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The son of one of the Boston Tea Party Indians, he graduated from Harvard and eventually became Massachusetts Speaker of the House. At age 32, President James Madison appointed him the youngest justice on the Supreme Court. He served 34 years and helped establish the illegality of the slave trade in the Amistad case. His name was Joseph Story, and he died this day, September 10, 1845. A founder of the Harvard Law School, Joseph Story stated, "Where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly or so perfectly as from the New Testament?"
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Not packed. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull, and we are going to go to David New, our Washington beat attorney, in just a moment. But before we do, I want to follow through with a statement that I was giving before we had to take the break. And David New, maybe you can make a comment on this. But, you know, it was about a week ago that Donald Trump said that he hoped Carson would hit him. Because, you know, Trump loves to counterpunch, and of course we know that he does that. He says, "I will never attack somebody until they attacked me. But it's interesting that pressed by reporters during a campaign stop in Anaheim, California, to respond to Donald Trump saying that Ben Carson was not qualified to be president, the retired neurosurgeon Carson really made a very interesting statement. He said this, and I quote, he said, "I realize where my successes come from, and I don't want to in any way deny my faith in God." Carson went on to cite some of his favorite scriptures, primarily Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4 that says, "Humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." And after he made that particular statement, David knew, he said, "I really don't get that impression with Trump." And so in reality, it seems as though Carson did take a swipe at Trump, because remember, it was Trump who basically bragged that he had never felt the need to ask God for forgiveness. And so I guess what we find here is that, Ben Carson came out and took a swing at Donald Trump, saying he's not too much of a humble individual. David New, maybe you've got a response to that in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure you do.
Well, I'll tell you, this situation with Donald Trump, I think the United States has been infected by Trumpitis. I think it's a very serious situation. He's an incredible individual, and he's just doing all kinds of things and saying things that no other candidate can say. So it's a very interesting situation about his faith and how he handles that in public. He's a rather confusing character in some ways.
Well, he is, and I think it's just a phenomenon to see how he is coming along. And like I said there in the first segment, you know, the latest poll that's out there, the CNN-ORC poll, puts him up at 32%. And the closest is Ben Carson at 19%, and that's just absolutely amazing. And I wouldn't even begin to think that Donald Trump is a man of faith, but then, you know, that's just my observations. Well, David New, really today we would like to discuss with you about the situation with Kim Davis down in Kentucky. And I'll go ahead and begin the discussion, and then we'll defer over to Sam and to Dave. But, you know, some of the media are saying that Kim Davis should resign her position as Rowan County Clerk down there simply because of the fact that she does not want to have her name on those marriage license applications. And the question that I have for you today, David, is, does she have a constitutional footing for exercising her religious liberties and convictions and maintaining the job that she's been elected to do down there in Kentucky?
Yes, she does. She should not resign her position. But one thing I do want to make very clear, because we're now going to be talking about the law, and a lot of the news for Kim Davis is not particularly good. But I consider her a modern-day Deborah from the Book of Judges. God has raised her up, and God is using her in a mighty way. And I'm hoping that she will be just the beginning of many, many other Americans in elected positions who are going to stand up for God and stand up for righteousness. I know that I saw some of the quotes that she gave to these people, these homosexuals that were coming up asking for marriage licenses, and she cited the law of God as a reason not to issue the marriage license. And I also saw some of the protesters who were outside in support of her make a statement that I thought was absolutely incredible, where there was one individual holding up a sign where he said, "Any law that violates the law of God is not a law at all." Now, you know, the media thinks these kind of people are crazy. But actually, they are, all of these people who are taking this position right now are in very, very good company. For example, on June 28th, that fundamental statement, that same statement, that man that was holding up that sign that said any law which violates the law of God is not a law at all, that statement was made on June 28th, 1865. And there was something, it was made by a congressman from New York. His name was Daniel Morris of New York. And he was just about to vote on January 31st, 1865, on the greatest amendment to the United States Constitution. Most people think that historians consider the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment to be the greatest amendment to the Constitution. But most historians consider the 13th Amendment to be the greatest amendment in the U.S. Constitution because that amendment abolished slavery in America. And that was done by the 39th Congress, which many historians consider to be the greatest Congress that's ever existed because they ended slavery and they freed, by law, 4 million Americans. Now, what's interesting, in the vote for the vote to end slavery, this congressman said this. He said, there is a substratum to the Constitution. There is a foundation power to this instrument. It is the law of nature. It existed before the world was. Among these truths are the following. All men are endowed with certain inalienable rights that to secure these governments are instituted. It was in view of these truths that our fathers ordained and established the Constitution now sought to be amended. He was referring to the 13th Amendment to end slavery. Then he goes on and says, this law, which antedates human government, is what I dominate the higher law. It is a law that is engraved upon the hearts of men. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. It is the doctrine which teaches that any human law that conflicts with the laws of God should be pronounced of no binding force by our courts.
And Dave, let me jump in there. Let me jump in there and follow up with this, because on this issue we're talking about, we have found, Gary mentioned it, I had a small group setting last night where I asked the question of our small group. These are people who are very well informed. I asked them what they thought about the situation with Kim Davis. Do they agree that she did the right thing? Should have she just quit? And I said, first of all, one thing we must understand, as an elected official, she is, first of all, Romans 13, a minister of God. She has a vertical relationship responsibility and then a horizontal relationship. And then there's the issue of law. But that's what you're saying. That's what he said. Nature's law, we would say, is a position under God. Believe it or not, many in that group didn't really apply that principle. So if we establish first, for those who are listening and who are wondering, I just got off the phone with a pastor who said many people came up and talked to him and they said, we don't think that what Kim Davis did was right. But what we're saying here is, first of all, there's a relationship to God first, because she is an elected official. She went first and say, violates God's law. I can't do it because I report to him first. But Dave, I'd like you to, you can comment on that briefly, but then go to the next thing. She is also an official within the state of Tennessee who has state law. Did Kim respond accordingly under under Kentucky law? Did she respond properly under Kentucky law? And how does she, as an elected official, have a responsibility that direction?
Well, she definitely has a responsibility, but the main thing I want to remind the audience here is that this comment, these arguments that were being made by these people in support of Kim Davis, God bless her, was something that is fundamental to American law. Any law that violates the laws of God should be pronounced of no force. And here this wonderful man was holding up this sign saying something. So here is this man saying something that was said in 1865 to bring an end to an ungodly institution like slavery. I mean, it's amazing. And also, when you look at the 1840 Constitution, this is an amazing statement. This is something all pastors should know. This is what the very first one of the first articles says. It says that no law shall be enacted. This is the 1840 Hawaiian Constitution. This is before Hawaii became a state in 1959. But the 1840 Constitution says that no law shall be enacted which is at variance with the word of the Lord Jehovah. So Kim Davis and the protesters supporting her are in very good company. Now, the problem we've got, what is the law of the land in this situation? unfortunately, in this situation, she's going to have a rough time.
Well, we know she's going to have a rough time simply because of the fact that many people in the United States of America really don't even know what the law of God's all about. But we'll continue to discuss that, ladies and gentlemen, after we take this break. We will be back with more right after that, so please stay tuned.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Six Baltimore police officers charged in connection with Freddie Gray's death in their custody will be tried in Baltimore. Their lawyers argued the cops couldn't get a fair trial there.
A judge in Baltimore denied a request from defense attorneys to move the trials of six police officers out of town, saying they couldn't prove potential jurors aren't skilled enough to think on their own. The first trial is set for October 1st. There's no word on who will be tried first, but we do know that each officer will be tried separately.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. A day before 9/11,
a hit list of American businessmen appears in several pages in the latest issue of Al-Qaeda's Inspire magazine. Among them, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Michael Bloomberg, and Ben Bernanke. The magazine calls for the assassination of these men because it says it would bring on instability to the American economy.
Fox Business Network's Blake Furman. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Prayer in the Park, Saturday, September 12th, 2015, from 10 a.m. until noon at Valley Forge Park in the Artillery Picnic Pavilion, East Interline Drive. Valley Forge Patriots and Faith and Freedom Coalition of Pennsylvania strongly encourage everyone to make a little time and come pray for America. We as a nation are in trouble, and believers from all faiths need to come together and humble ourselves before God. Please, can't you set 2 hours aside for the good of America? Invite all your friends, church friends, neighbors, leaders for this most important morning. That's Prayer in the Park at Valley Forge Park, Saturday, September 12th, from 10 a.m. till noon. For more information, go to galaxypwd@aol.com. That's galaxypwd@aol.com.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a
taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today for this Thursday. And it's a pleasure to have you there in the audience wherever you might be. And, of course, we are welcoming the news stations down in the great state of Texas. If you happen to be a listener on one of those stations, we want to remind you that we are on every day at the same time on this same radio station, and we are delighted to have you with us. And, of course, to everybody, we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and you can learn more about this program as well as the other programs that are produced by the American Pastors Network. We have with us today our Washington Beat attorney, David New. And we are really talking about the situation with Kim Davis down in Kentucky and some of the ramifications of that as it relates to law, the law, that is, of the Word of God, the law of our Constitution here in the United States of America. And David Kistler, unfortunately, what we find today is that there are many people, even Christians, who do not understand or know the law of God, let alone the law of the United States of America, the United States Constitution.
Well, Gary, you're 100% correct. And one of the reasons I love and appreciate David New, as do the other two of us, you and Sam as well, is the fact that he understands the relationship between constitutional law and God's law, God's moral law. And that is the basis upon which he was citing that example from 1865, which is a powerful, powerful statement leading up to a vote on the 13th Amendment. David, I want to ask you this question, because the comments about what Kim Davis has done, as Gary has well said, has been really all over the map. Even Christians don't understand, you know, some of them, why she did what she did and why she has strong constitutional and biblical footing for doing so. Some are saying this in relationship to Kim's decision, that what she has refused to do is the equivalent of what existed in the 60s with segregation. And they're saying to Kim, you know, you should do what happened in the 60s. Just get with the program, do your job, allow same-sex marriage, you know, to take place, sign off on those marriage licenses, et cetera, et cetera. Can you explain to our listeners how what Kim has refused to do down in Kentucky is vastly different than the segregation issue?
Absolutely. First of all, the problem is not with Kim Davis. The problem is with the law. The law is corrupt. The law is unbelievably corrupt. Who in their right mind would ever dream that sodomy would be protected by the Constitution of the United States? I know some kids in the fifth grade who have a better sense of good and right and wrong than some of these characters on the United States Supreme Court. The problem is not with Kim Davis. It's with the Supreme Court and these characters up there. Now, the difference between the segregation situation is very apparent when you look at the vote. For example, the Loving versus Virginia case, which is involved black-white marriages and why that should be protected and why people should be able to get married regardless of their race. The vote there was 9-0 on the U.S. Supreme Court. So what's the difference between this case and that case? This vote was 5-4 for the same-sex marriage. That basically represents the division in America. It is not the same. There's nothing immoral or corrupt about being a white person, and there's certainly nothing immoral or corrupt about being a black person. There's nothing immoral or corrupt about any race. God loves us all. Sodomy is a different matter. It's an unnatural act. It is not the same thing. She should not resign. I don't want this beautiful, God-fearing woman to resign.
And Dave, you know, to that extent, let's reiterate the point. To that extent, when she refuses to quit because she's an elected official, she has another obligation, not just as an employee. She's an elected official. Is she not, by doing what she is doing, fighting the issue for the defense of the religious or First Amendment right for all Americans, whether they agree with her or not?
I think you are absolutely correct. What we have here, I am sad to say, are two competing rights. Number one, there's the right of the citizens in Kentucky to have her perform her job as a constitutionally elected official. The second right that exists is her rights as a religious American, as an American citizen, to practice her faith without violation. A comparative example would be, take a look at the U.S. Constitution in Article 2 and in Section 3. There's that phrase that says, he shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. We expect the President of the United States to enforce those laws, all the laws, not the ones that he or she likes, not the one that he or she prefers, but all laws that have been passed by Congress. And one of the big complaints about President Obama is that he doesn't do that. Now, what we've got to watch out for is we can't turn around and take an 180-degree turn and say, well, Kim Davis can choose which law she wants to enforce. That's one side of the issue. The other side of the issue is she has a right. Nobody in the 60s and the 70s and 80s would ever think the U.S. Supreme Court would do something so dirty and so low as to constitutionally protect sodomy. She has a right as a Christian, as a human being, not to enforce that law. There should be an exemption for her, and the Supreme Court has given various kinds of exemptions for people who simply cannot carry out whatever it is that they want them to do. There was a case involving a hallucinogenic drug, and the federal government did not want these people, these Indians, to take this thing because it was a controlled substance. It violated the Controlled Substance Act, but the U.S. Supreme Court gave it protection. There was a case in 1963 where there was a Seventh-day Adventist. She got fired because she would not work on the Sabbath. She went to ask for unemployment insurance because she was fired, and she was denied by her state. And the Supreme Court, this was in South Carolina, the Supreme Court said she has a right to practice her faith. She lost her job because she refused to violate the Sabbath and her conscience. It was a private employer, I believe. She was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she was denied unemployment benefits. And the Supreme Court came down in her favor and said the South Carolina Employment Security Commission has to give her her unemployment benefits. So there's a tension. You've got two separate rights at force here. But fundamentally, the problem is that the law is corrupt.
David, let me ask this question because you're bringing up an outstanding point. The examples that you just cited go to the heart of my question. Between the rights of these people, quote unquote, or for them to expect her to perform her job as an elected official versus her individual religious liberty rights, when you put that in priority, our founders believed, and the court, based on the examples you gave, has ruled in accordance with this. They have believed, we have believed as a people, that First Amendment religious liberty rights trumped other rights. If you understand what I'm saying, that's why our founders called it the first freedom. This is our first freedom. Your religious liberty is really, in many ways, the basis from which all other rights come. So First Amendment religious liberty would take precedent over these other things. Would that be correct?
That would be correct in a real sense of the word, because when you look at these state constitutions, just about all of them, there are some that don't have a preamble. But when you look at the preamble of around 46 of these 50 state constitutions, they all say basically the same thing. Our freedoms and our rights come from God. That is a basic pillar of American political ideology. Our rights come from God. But there are other factors involved. There are competing rights. There was a case in 1986, Goldman versus Weinberg, where there was a Jewish Air Force officer, and he wanted to wear his cap over his head, his yarmulke. And he asked to have an exemption from the Air Force. They wouldn't give it to him because he was in the military. He went to the Supreme Court, and he lost the case. And that was in 86. Now, even though he lost in the Supreme Court, Congress came back in 87 and said, well, we're going to allow the Air Force to grant an exemption for people who have Jewish dress, and if they want to wear religious dress on their U.S. military uniform, they can do it as long as it's done in good taste. So there's competing rights here. You know, from the way these people look at it, they consider sodomy to be as fundamental right as marriage for them as anybody else. And unfortunately, that is the law. She's going to have a tough time. There needs to be an exemption, some way that we can get around, because we want her to stay in that position for sure. God is using her in this situation.
You know, David New, I think that what we need to do really is to teach President Obama some vocabulary. You know, of course, when he takes his particular oath of office, he says he's going to execute the office of the president of the United States, and of course, to uphold the Constitution. I think he thinks that to execute means to kill the law, not to support it. We need to teach him some good vocabulary. David New, thank you very, very much for being with us today. Keep up the good work, and thank you for the good information that you've shared with us today.
God bless you. Nice to be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after this. Please don't go away.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Nations who reject God will get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate his commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, "I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership because you've rejected God, his authority, and his commands." I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network saying, modern-day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And, you know, Dave and Sam, it's always a blessing to have David New with us on the program because he gives some insight and understanding that most of us don't even think about because of course, he is an authority on the United States Constitution. And, you know, I always appreciate the viewpoints that he brings out, and it's always a blessing to be able to have him with us every other Thursday when he's on board. But, you know, I want to switch gears just a little bit here, and I think most of us are very much aware of the Syrian refugee situation that is taking place, and it looks as though President Obama wants to increase the number of Syrian refugees even here in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, he went so far as to say that we have a moral responsibility to invite the refugees into America. And the question that I have for you, Sam, and I'm directing this to you because of your involvement in government, and then, of course, maybe Dave Kistler, you want to follow up on that as well. But do we, as Christians, and do we who believe in biblical values, do we have a moral responsibility from the government perspective to invite these refugees into America? Should we open our doors to these refugees and just say, here we are, come on in, you're welcome?
Gary, the answer is, in a general sense, absolutely not. Okay, now I'll couch that in this perspective. Every nation has an ability to either attract people, or in some cases, in communist nations, they've built walls to keep people in because they can't stand to stay there. We have always been a magnet to the downtrodden of the world. We, because of our heritage, our Christian heritage, have been an attraction to those who have been persecuted for their faith. Therefore, this nation has always opened its arms to people who have come. When I was in office, we helped to bring to our nation here a number of past people who, Muslims, who had converted to Christianity and who were going to be killed in their own countries of Iran and others had they gone back, and we were helped to get them into our country. All right, that's a good thing.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. But with this administration, they've opened the doors across the board. 100,000 Somalians in this nation that they've taken and spread all around, most of them, they're saying, are Muslims. They are not here because they are being persecuted. They're being here, I think, to influence our society. I will tell you one specific thing. I have a friend right now in Tennessee who is from, who has friends, one of which is a husband and wife. One, the husband is a Syrian, has permission to stay in this nation, has been granted already approval. His wife, who is a Christian, when made application, she came here. She is sitting in a detention center in Cincinnati, Ohio, right now, by our immigration department, who has put her in detention, and they're not permitting her to be here, even though her husband is allowed, because she told them that she was a Christian. Now, there's all I can say on it was that's being pursued right now to find out what's going on. But Gary and Dave, the president's opening arms to the Syrian refugees when there is no specification on why and they're coming and who they are under this scenario, I would say as a general rule, is a bad deal and is not something that we are required to do even from any perspective as a nation, not in these days under these scenarios.
Bingo,
well, certainly
Sam.
It indicates to us, I think, that our president is almost has an aggressive agenda to compromise national security, David.
Well, Gary, let me, as Sam was giving that explanation, and it couldn't have been more clear, I agree 2,000%, if there could be such a thing with what Sam just said. Gary, do you remember on the prior program you and I did where we interviewed a gentleman out of Ohio at that small Christian college that had young people, Christian young people, that had come from other countries to America to get training in order to go back to their country, their home country, with the gospel, and those Christian kids were being deported? Do you remember that scenario?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Well, Gary, that's what Sam's getting at. If you are a professor of belief in Jesus Christ and you are attempting to come to this country, or you are already in this country, you are considered by this administration public enemy number one. But if you are a Muslim and you want to come into this country for nefarious reasons, and we have to be professionally suspicious in the day and time in which we're living with ISIS entities, with rabid Muslim entities that are wanting to come into this country and destroy us, we have to be professionally suspicious. So what does that say about the motivations of this administration? They are not on the up and up, and they're certainly not pro-American, and they're anything but pro-Christian.
So it goes back to the point that it just appears as though Barack Obama is doing what he can to compromise national security. Do you think that is something that he aggressively is working on as it relates to his own particular agenda? Because, you know, with these refugees, you know, it's possible that ISIS could use them to really infiltrate the United States of America with Muslim extremists, and it appears to me as though Obama is supporting that.
Gary, he absolutely is. I mean, I know you put that out there because you already know the answer to that question, but the answer is absolutely yes. No one, how much, really, truly, how much does one sane, objective person who is looking at all that has happened these last 7 years come to any other conclusion rather than that? Just yesterday, we talked about the Sanhedrin, did we not? In issuing the indictment against this president and John Kerry, one of the charges against them was that they were working overtly and subvertly, behind the scenes, to undermine the nation of Israel. They were working behind the scenes to help facilitate the aggressive actions of all of those in the Middle East who want the destruction of Israel and the destruction of freedom. They know it. That's why they put it down there. And it's strange to me that we have so many people in this country who are still saying, well, I wonder. I mean, how much does it take?
Gary, Sam, if we're still debating, really, in one sense, who this guy is and what his motivations are, and I'm talking about President Obama, we're wasting our time. Sam, you said it well. It is abundantly clear what he is about and what he's after, and this Syrian refugee crisis, quote unquote, is another example in a long history of the president doing things that are absolutely destructive to the United States of America.
So what do we do to prevent this from continuing?
Well, we do what we're doing right now, Gary. We lift our voice and we speak the truth. And those that are listening to us need to pick up their phone, sit down at their computer, and send a message via email, make a phone call to the offices of their elected officials, and let them know that you are dead set against these hundreds of thousands of potentially incredibly dangerous people being brought into our country. This gentleman has nothing to do with not having a heart for the downtrodden. We have a heart for all people, especially those who live legitimately in the United States of America, that are going to be threatened by this action of our president.
Well, that's very well stated. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say that if there's ever a time for us to pray for America and to stand up and speak up and to talk to those who are in Washington, this is the time to do it. Don't sit back and watch. Become active and do as Jesus said, occupy till he comes. We want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.